The scripture reading this morning is coming from the book of Habakkuk. That is Habakkuk. I'm reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to study more about what God's word has to say. All month we have been talking about justification, being declared right. And that's important. It's very important because we understand that it is okay to be right. When we consider the text that was read in our hearing, that will actually be our last point that we will talk about, that hopefully it will help us as we continue to walk and continue to live the Christian life before God. When we think about faith and action, they go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, our brother James would say in James chapter 2 in verse 20 through 22 that faith without works is dead. That faith and works work hand in hand. They work together. When we consider our demonstration of obedience, it is promoted by the word of God. And that's important for us to keep in mind because we understand that obedience is not only necessary but beneficial. Not just beneficial for the individual, but also beneficial for the collective group. Not just for the Lord's church, but for society at large. Justification, which literally means to be declared right before God. Many will seem or seek to be declared right before men, but ultimately man should strive to be declared right before God. And that should be our goal, and I believe that's the goal of all of us, even on this morning. When we talk about being just or right, it is a result of being faithful, a result of being obedient, and therefore we should live by faith. In Romans 10 and verse number 17, the Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which we've already discussed on previous lessons, because when we consider the faithful and living by faith, which means that we are not living by another system, we're not living by another document or the minds and teachings of men, however, the word of God. Seven different passages or contexts, we find this phrase, if you will, the just shall live by faith or by their faith. This morning, we want to discuss three, and on next week, we'll discuss the rest. And the reason why is because all month, again, talking about justification, being declared right is so important. And I want us to keep these things in mind because when we consider the truth is what justifies us. That's what declares us right. Not my truth, not the world's truth, not someone else's truth, but God's truth. And so when we consider this, I want us to be thinking about this. Point number one, when we consider the just living by faith, it is directly associated with the gospel, which is the very power of God. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 16. I like the book of Romans because Paul had a desire to go and be with the brethren that he may impart some spiritual gifts unto them that they may be established, strengthened. However, at this particular time, he had not yet made it to them. But he says something very interesting in verse number 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he gives the reason why. It is the power of God unto, toward salvation. When we stop and we consider these great words, we want to consider God's power for those who declare themselves right, or for those who God declares right. Why? Because its invitation is for everyone who believes. Look at verse 17. For in it, talking about the gospel, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Consider the righteousness of God. When we think about the righteousness of God, you ought to consider Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That declaration that promotes right living, if you will. And it's all right to be right. But it's all right to be right when God says it's right, not when I think it's right. And so here, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. We see that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Now, I want us to consider something. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through verse number 8, we're not going to read it for time's sake, but I want you to mark that down. And the reason why is because there you'll see the facts concerning the gospel message. Many people miss out on these facts. They're great facts. And the reason why they're great facts is because it's talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ. But I want us to read verses 1 through 4. And the reason why, because we see something very powerful in there that declares man right. In verses 1 through 4, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. If anyone doesn't know what the gospel is, you're studying with them, you're talking with them, and you ask them, what's the gospel? And they say, well, it's good news, it's the Bible, it's the word of God. Do you want to know what the gospel is? Because it is this gospel that must be preached, according to Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. It is this gospel that must go into all of the world, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. But this gospel, notice what Paul says. It can be preached, he says, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. By which also, notice what the gospel does, friends. It saves, it justifies, it declares man right before God. And that's important because God is coming back for the saved. He's not just coming back for good people. He's coming back for the saved. Brother Mike, why would you say that? Because all saved people are good people. But not all good people are saved people. And so we want to be the saved ones. Notice what he says. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, notice, according to the scriptures. Why is this so important to us? Because the power of God is in this message. The power of God is in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should always have this in the forefront of our minds because this is what delivers man from sin. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we find the church being scattered. Persecution has taken place in the Lord's church, the church of Christ. Saul was actually consenting to this persecution, involved in this persecution, verses 1 and 2. However, when we consider the church and the power of the mindset of the church of Christ at this particular time, in verse number 4, we see something that is worthy of our attention. This is what justified people do. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Justified people don't stand still because they're being persecuted. Justified, right people, just people, saved people, they continue to march forward in the marching orders of Jesus Christ, regardless of the persecution. Notice verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and notice what he did. He preached Christ. To preach Christ is to preach the word. And verse number 6. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Drop down to verse number 12. Here we find that the Bible demonstrates what is good preaching, what is gospel preaching. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we stop and we consider the just living by faith is directly associated with the gospel message, We understand that it is associated with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's so important for us to keep in the forefront of our minds. Why? Because there are so many social clubs today. So many fraternities, sororities. They're okay within their own right. However, they don't have any saving power. The saving power is in the kingdom of God. The saving power is in the church of our Lord, the church of Christ. When we consider, look at Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. At this particular time, John is about to leave the scene. Reason why is because he was going to be beheaded. However, Jesus was going to pick up the baton, if you will, and continue the gospel message of repentance unto salvation. And that's so important. Notice what the Bible here says. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, watch this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When we consider the just living by faith being directly associated with the gospel message, friends, the gospel message is about the kingdom of God, the Lord himself, and how one ought to be or needs to be saved. The next slide, when we think about the gospel message, is saturated with the sufferings of Christ. I want us to consider this for a second. Because the sufferings of Christ, that's our identity. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible teaches us that everyone who is a Christian is going to suffer persecution. That's part of it. It's part of life. But I want to turn you to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to show you something that I learned this week. And one thing about God's word and being a Bible student, you have the opportunity and the privilege of learning something. And if you ever go a day or a week in God's word and not learn something, I kind of wonder, what are we studying? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 13, we see something interesting that ought to give us something to consider. Suffering is in this entire context, going through persecution. People deriding you and defaming your name, talking bad about you, perhaps even putting their hands on you. I'm talking about first century. All for the cause of Christ. All for a man that you believe that came in the flesh, God coming in the flesh, living amongst men, living a perfect life, being raised to go back to his Father. All because of that. Here we see something very powerful. Verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's the attitude. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, this is what they're calling you, Sister Evelyn, an evildoer. Notice what he goes on to say. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. But verse 18 is really the point that I want us to make. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that's the rest of the world. Jesus came into the world and he suffered for all men. He didn't suffer for himself. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, God made him sin who knew no sin. And the reason why is because he desired all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But notice what he goes on to say. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient. Watch this. When the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. So he brings up Noah now, and that particular time frame when Noah was there and he was building the ark and preaching the righteousness of God for men and women to be saved from a corrupt world. From sin, if you will. Notice what he goes on to say. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype. He's about to draw a conclusion, if you will, make a comparison, which now saves us, baptism. Why would he bring this up right now? And what does this have to do with the just living by faith and suffering? He brings up baptism right here, and he says it's not a bath. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why would he bring that up right now? He would bring it up right now because, just like anything, in the midst of suffering, you need something that you're going to put your spiritual feet upon. You got to have something that you can look back to and say, this is worth suffering for. We stop and we consider, he saves us, and then he calls it baptism. Baptism is the point in which God saves a man from his sins or her sins. However, in the midst of suffering, the just living by faith, they got to have something that they can look back to and say that is worth suffering. Why? Because at the point in which God saved me from my sins, I can look back and say it's worth me suffering. But watch this point here in verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Jesus suffered. Jesus was exalted. We suffer for righteousness' sake. We will be exalted one day. Not only do I have something to look back to, my baptism, which the point in which I was saved, I also got something to look forward to, glory with God. Therefore, we'll work till Jesus comes. Wow. When I learned that, Royce, I said, man, where has this been? It's been in my possession all of this time. Friends, that's why we have to study the Word of God. We have to look at it and see what is going on here. The next slide, we see justification requires singleness of mind. Very important. Being focused, being fixed, being fruitful. We stop and we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, there is something I want us to consider. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. Notice what the Bible here demonstrates to us. Paul, as he is chastising the brethren at Corinth, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If you see the idea of simplicity, literally singleness, simplicity, sincerity, mental honesty. Now, this is so important as it relates to the just being, the just shall be saved. What am I talking about? Yeah, the just shall be saved by faith. It'll come to me in a minute. The just shall live by faith. There it is. My mind's going so fast. But it's so important that we be single in our mind, that we be honest and men and women of integrity. And the reason why is because when you consider the definition of simplicity, the virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy, not self-seeking, openness of heart manifesting itself in generosity. Why is this so important as it relates to the just living by faith? Because the simplicity, he's not talking about the ABCs of Christianity. He's talking about being focused. When I am focused, then I'm living by faith. Brother Dennis brought out a point in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 30 through 32. And us judging ourselves, John 12:48, we judge ourselves by the word. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Neither will we be condemned with the world. Think about that. Ponder that for a second. What will that require? If I'm living by faith, it requires me being honest. It requires me not being hypocritical. It requires me being simplistic in my mindset, focused on Christ. That's why when you think of Eve and how she was deceived from the focus of the tree of life and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She focused on the wrong thing. And when we focus on the wrong thing, we're not living by faith. Why? Because faith teaches us to focus on the right things. And so this leads us to point number two. Next slide, brother. The just are living, notice, by or out of the faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3. We'll get to the book of Habakkuk, and when we get there, it all makes sense. But it's so important because when we consider the contexts of how the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is used, God is teaching us a system of thinking that is so important for us to have in our minds in order for us to live right, to think right, to be right. And so when we consider Galatians chapter 3, if I could sum it up in a way, the New Testament system of God is the only system that God has given in order to justify, save man from his sins. It wasn't even the law of Moses, Brother Chad. The law of Moses could not save a man from his sins. Needed the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10 and verse number 1 through 4. We stop and we consider these words. Notice Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. He says, O foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? They were being bamboozled and fooled that they could obey the law of Moses and obey the law of Christ, thus putting them together for salvation, for justification. Paul said, that's foolish. Who fooled you? Acts 13, we understand that they obeyed the gospel. Already here in the book of Galatians, they're off. They're going off the deep end. Look at verse 3. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The idea of perfect there is the idea of perfection. In Hebrews 7 and verse number 11, we understand that perfection did not come by the Levitical priesthood. Perfection came by the priesthood of Judah, which was Jesus Christ. We consider more of the text. Drop down to verse number 10. In verse number 10, notice what the Bible here declares. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Watch this. But that no one is justified by the law. Can you imagine being under the law of Moses and you're hearing this message and you are adhering to this law, but you got the law of Christ and it nailed the old law to the cross. Jesus did. Colossians 2 verses 11 through verse number 14. Ephesians 2, 11 through verse number 15. Can you imagine hearing this from the Apostle Paul and it's being read, but like, hold on. I go to the law of Moses to be justified and now you're telling me that I need to be justified only by Christ? Yeah. Why? Because the law of Moses was a schoolmaster. It was a tutor to bring the Jews to Christ in order for the Gentiles to also benefit from the life of Christ. And so look at verse number 11, the latter part. I'll read the whole thing, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live, literally, you see, by faith in the Greek is out of faith. That is so important, brethren. Because so many during this particular time were seeking the law of Moses for justification, being right before God. And Paul is telling them, no, 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 no. It's not Moses, it's Jesus. Now, this is not an equivalent, but it's in the ballpark. Because you cannot, listen, you cannot, C-A-N-N-O-T, you cannot put denominationalism in the same plane as the law of Moses. Why? Because the law of Moses at one time was authorized. Denominationalism has never been authorized. Wow. So you can't even make the direct correlation. However, in application, when you have individuals who are seeking to be justified, declared right, by a system that God himself did not implement. You have the same principle. And friends, there are so many today that are seeking to be justified by faith or out of faith, but they're not in the faith. You got to be in the faith in order to be justified by faith. And so here, Paul makes a very excellent point. Dealing with those who are under the law, seeking to be justified. No, you got to be in Christ. You want to be justified, declare right, you got to come through Christ. You got those today who are seeking to be justified, thinking that it's of Christ. But Christ, those who are justified, who live by faith, we understand faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God teaches me that in order for me to be saved, I got to obey the gospel. But if I don't believe the gospel, yet I believe I'm justified, then I'm not justified at all. And so think about this. The just shall live by faith. And so notice what he goes on to say in verse number 12. Yet the law is not of faith or out of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Friends, it is so important for us to keep that in mind. Point three, go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Now we get to the lesson. All that was introductory material. Gets us to the point that we really want to make. The just must learn to wait on God. One of the hardest lessons to learn is waiting. You know, one of the hardest lessons to teach a child is to be patient. You got to wait, baby. Just got to wait a little bit. Son, you got to wait. God's people have always struggled with waiting. However, the just living by faith is directly associated with waiting. Brother Royce, even Habakkuk was struggling with waiting on God in this book. He was waiting, and the reason why is because the Babylonians had came in and attacked and besieged Jerusalem and taken the people of God back into Babylon. And they were a hasty people. They were a corrupt people. They were a mean people. They did very mean things. You go and you look in the Kings, and you look in the book of Daniel, and you look at all these different ways that the Babylonians besieged Jerusalem. And Habakkuk was asking the question, you're going to use this sinful and very harsh nation to discipline your people? Yes, I'm going to do that. So what about these people? God says, I'm going to take care of the Babylonians. I'm going to bring in the Medes and the Persians, and he's going to take care of them. So you don't have to worry about that. Yet we find Habakkuk, he was becoming impatient. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, here the Bible teaches us, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart, a tower. This is a figure of speech here. And watch to see, Habakkuk 1 in verse number 3, this figurative language of a tower that he's going to be sitting in, what he will say to me. He's waiting on God. It's a great lesson for us. The just shall live by faith. If at any time I don't know what to do, let me never be like Jonah, Brother Michael, and get ahead of God. But let me be like David and go into prayer. Let me wait on God. Here we find Habakkuk, and he's frustrated. How could God use a nation so dreadful and sinful to punish his people? God, how can you do this? Because God's plan is so infinite and so wise, it's above our thinking. But it always comes out, and it always plays out for the good of those who are faithful. And so notice what he says. And what I will answer when I am corrected, when I am waiting on revelation from God. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, oh, he waited on the Lord, and now the Lord is about to reveal his will. Sometimes we grow very impatient when we're waiting on an answer. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 5 and verse number 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. It's a blessing to know that, number one, we can go to God through Jesus Christ, but it's another blessing to know that he's listening to us. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's a blessing to know that being just and righteous before God and learning to wait on God, God, he hears. He loves to hear from us. The just he loves to hear from. I'm so thankful he loves to hear from us. Are you thankful for that? So now the Lord is answering him. He says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. Well, I wish I had time to really talk about making it plain on tablets. There's some preaching that is just not plain. You don't know what they're talking about. It's not clear. They're saying all types of things. And when they got through preaching, you'd be like, so what did he say? No, gospel preaching. Those who are justified by faith, gospel teachers, make it plain. They make plain preaching, plain teaching, that the people can hear it, that the people can do something with it, that they can benefit from it, that they can be blessed by it, and that they can go out and bless others with it. Plain preaching. He said, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. There's the implication of waiting, friends. If I can't understand it, how can I run with it? But if I can understand it, not only will I run with it, but I'll tell others about it because it's clear to me. And when it's clear to me and I have a good understanding of it, Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. I was talking to my dear brother Chad this morning. We was talking about some things. I appreciate what he said as relates to how he rears his children. He tries to explain the why and make sure that they have a good understanding so it can help them in their reasoning. I know I'm singling Chad out, but he's man enough to take it. I appreciate that. You know what God does with us? He does the same thing. He makes it plain. We have to do a little reasoning, do a little thinking. It's all right to do a little thinking. We live in a time today where people want you to think for them. Do it for me. Friends, let it not be so among us. Let us be a people who are thinkers, who are thinking things through. We may not think it all the way through. We may need a little help to think it through. But let us at least attempt to think things through, because in the thinking it through, we get better and we can help others. So here we see that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. God will bring it to pass. Babylon will get theirs. Habakkuk, you don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of this, Habakkuk. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, notice what God tells Habakkuk, wait for it, wait for it. Teach your children to wait. Wait on the right spouse. Wait for the right job. Wait for the right opportunities. Don't jump ahead of God by jumping in bed with someone who's not your spouse. Amen. You need to say that now. You might not like it, but it's still true. Why is sex running so rampant in our day and time? Friends, it should not be, especially amongst us, Ephesians chapter 5. When we stop and we consider, let's not run ahead of God. Let's wait on a good paycheck, meaning an honest work day's work. You know, if you're going to work for somebody, give them a good, honest day's work. I hear from employers all the time, it's hard to find good employees. They spend more time on their devices than they do actually working. You know, that's not hard work. Actually, hard work is going to work and actually working. As Christians, let us wait and do what is right. Let's work hard. Because it will surely come, he says, it will not tarry. Notice verse 4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. but the just shall live by his faith. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? Here, he puts this right in the middle of waiting, right in the middle of receiving revelation, right in the middle of God answering prayer, right in the middle of Habakkuk in the tower, if you will, which ought to teach us that we have to get in our quiet place and wait on God, meditation and prayer. I'll give you a couple passages. In Psalm 59, as we come to a close, I found it very interesting how the psalmist had the same mentality. And truth be told, those who are walking according to the Spirit's teaching ought to have the same mentality when it comes to spiritual things. In Psalm 59, in verse number 9, here the psalmist has this to say. It's David. And he says, I will wait for you, O you, his strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desires on my enemies. In Psalm 62, in verse number 5, notice what the Bible there has to say. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, take care of that. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, notice what the Bible says. Notice what the Bible says. But those who wait on the Lord, notice, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, we stop and we consider waiting on God. What does it mean to wait on God? Friends, it means sometimes being like David and encouraging yourself in the Lord. Sometimes it's like being like Job. I will wait till my change come. The just shall live by faith, according to the gospel. The just shall live by faith in the midst of suffering. The just shall live by faith, according to the right system of belief. The just shall live by faith, learning to wait on God. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. And so here's the question. Are you just? Are you right? I would say that you are if you're here, but maybe you're not. Well, next week we'll discuss the next ones because they're so powerful. If you will, write those down. Go look at them. They're so encouraging, especially Nehemiah's. Nehemiah's is so encouraging. God wants us to be just, and God wants us to live according to faith. And God has told us what faith is. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. God will do something amazing in your life. He will save you from all your sins. You'll then enter from the unjust to the just category, from the unsaved to the saved category. And what better category to be in? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God and, well, you understand that the just shall live by faith, but you have been living according to a different standard. That happens. We all lose focus every now and then. But praise be to God for repentance. Marshall Keeble said one time while he was preaching, he said, I wouldn't buy a Cadillac if it didn't go in reverse. You think about that. Every now and then you got to go in reverse. Why? Because you made a wrong turn. Maybe you need to back up just a little bit. There's something about backing up. It's the beauty of Christianity. The angels did not have that privilege and still don't. But we have the privilege of backing up and going in the right direction. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.